The major broadcast and cable news networks are preempting regularly scheduled programming for live coverage of the public impeachment hearings of President Donald Trump. Our next guest says covering Trump is far from easy, and this is the media's trickiest test yet. She says journalists need to bring their A game to fulfill their core mission, informing citizens of what they really need to know. Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist with The Washington Post. She recently laid out ways journalists can do their jobs well during these congressional proceedings. Margaret, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Keely.
Let's start with those public hearings today. We had the first of them in this official inquiry. And I wonder what your initial takeaway is with media analysis of the public testimony.
Well, you know, it's very early to sort of analyze how the media is going to do with this, but I would say that overall, I'm favorably impressed with the sort of seriousness that I thought it was important and good that across the board, TV networks, cable and broadcast were focused on this today. I think that was very good, whether it was PBS or ABC or CNN, I think it's very, very important for American citizens to be able to, choose to watch this if they so desire. And they certainly had every opportunity to do that today. And then I think that the analysis that I saw afterwards, just kind of moving around from cable to network, has been serious and has been appropriate. So I think it's going pretty well.
What is it about these impeachment hearings that makes them difficult to cover?
Well, President Trump is difficult to cover for the traditional news media because he's, as we all know, kind of the master of distraction. And he definitely is feeling the heat now. And so I think that those distractions, he, for example, made sure that there was kind of counter programming in that he had a press conference today with the Turkish leader Erdogan. And, that was a way to bring the focus back to him. And that's the kind of thing that, he's particularly good at. And with the seriousness, I think, of these impeachment hearings, the news media needs to be very cognizant that these are the kinds of things that are going to happen, that there may well be sort of shiny object stunts that go on. And, some of them will demand coverage, but they can get appropriate coverage.
And what, then, are media members doing well when covering the president?
Well, plenty of things. Over the course of his presidency and his candidacy, I think that journalists have done overall a very good job, some journalists at least, and I certainly put my colleagues at The Washington Post at the forefront of this, that we've managed to kind of pull back the curtain and tell American citizens what's going on. And that hasn't been easy because of the, President Trump is a guy who breaks down norms. For example, his press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, has not had a single news conference, press briefing. They used to be called the daily press briefings. Well, 6 months has gone by and she hasn't done that. So there is sometimes a difficulty in getting answers to questions. President Trump will stand next to the whirring helicopter and, take a couple questions, but it's not quite the same thing as that daily accountability of the press being able to represent citizens and get questions answered and bring up subjects. So, that's just one example of the kind of changes that have happened that have been really tough for journalists to adjust to and figure out how to effectively do their jobs.
Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist with The Washington Post, and you can join this conversation by calling 800-642-1234. We're talking about the media and coverage of the Trump presidency, of the impeachment hearings. What are you watching for in coverage, and what do you want to see journalists do in this time of political clash? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Margaret, you want the media to do its job to give citizens the information they need to know. But how do journalists decide what citizens need to know?
Right. Well, that's always, it's a tricky question because we do have to make editorial judgments about what's important and what's not important. And, you know, one of the things that I think we deal with a lot can be summed up in the phrase that a lot of us are familiar with now, false equivalency. So, you know, we saw this, I think, during the campaign when there was so much attention, the 2016 presidential campaign, when there was so much attention given to Hillary Clinton's email practices, which were, you know, somewhat dubious, but they probably didn't really measure up to all the different things that had happened in Donald Trump's past, but they were kind of made equal. And so that, you know, that's the kind of thing that we have to watch out for. We have to actually make some judgments about what matters. And, you know, not everyone will agree with that, but it's the job of, certainly the job of editors who may determine what goes on the front page or what's on the homepage today or what kind of story we're going to do about this, and not get drawn into sort of the showmanship of it, which is one of the problems that we have. And I think also not to have, you know, a constant blending of opinion and fact, but to try to get to the facts. I mean, this is something I hear from news consumers all the time, is they really wish that journalists would stop opining all the time and, you know, kind of stick pretty closely to what's really happening.
Yeah, Matthew on our Facebook page writes, tell us the bare facts, not tainted by any political bent. So certainly it sounds like Matthew is in that category. Also on the Ideas Network Facebook page, Brody posted, don't do the both sides bias. If the Republicans mm-hmm. keep making arguments hypocritical to their stated values on the presidency, address it. And then John chipped in that goes for the Democrats, too. So we're seeing people who are listening, who are watching, say, we don't want to hear the both sides argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, those are all really great comments. And I think show how well people in Wisconsin are paying attention to this and bringing a sophistication to their media viewing. I mean, this kind of both sides thing that people are talking about has to do with, you know, and we see this, I think an easy way to explain it is maybe it with climate change. I mean, this is not germane to what we're talking about now, but it's just sort of an example of, if you have, you know, scientific evidence and agreement that climate change exists and that it's caused in large part by human beings, and you've got sort of the climate change deniers over here, are you going to give them equal weight each time? Or do you have to make some judgments about saying, well, no, actually, we know what's true and what's false here?
All right. We're talking about the media's job in covering the impeachment hearings into President Trump's phone call to Ukraine and other big issues in our country right now. Margaret Sullivan is our guest. She's a media columnist with The Washington Post. And Margaret, you write that journalists should stress substance and not speculation. Why is that distinction so critical?
Well, you know, I think that we're in this sort of era in which pundits are constantly, you know, whether it's on cable news or elsewhere, you're constantly getting this thing of journalists, you know, pretending they know something that they actually don't know. And we saw this a lot during the presidential campaign of 2016. You know, there was this conventional wisdom that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and that wasn't true, and journalists really didn't know it. So I think in this case, they need to stop that, you know, and stop speculating. Stop speculating about how voters in swing states are reacting to the revelations, but rather to cover what's happening, to cover the substance of it, and let, you know, people make up their own minds and not, you know, kind of foist these conclusions on them.
Let's bring a caller into this conversation now. Todd is on the phone from the middle of Wisconsin. Todd, what do you have to say here?
Hi, I was just listening to you guys talk, and I was thinking about watching football, actually. And when I used to watch football with the commentary on, and I've been a football fan for about 10 or 12 years, and so now I know enough about it to just watch it. So now I watch it with the commentary off, even on TV. And it's so different because I can just judge for myself what's going on. And I was just calling in to say today I was listening to the impeachment hearings on NPR radio station in Chicago on my way to Wisconsin, and I heard it without any commentary. And it was very refreshing just to hear what was going on And then the radio broadcast was interrupted just to inform us who was speaking, so we'd know who was talking, because there's no way we'd otherwise know. And I was able, as it went on, to just think about each of the arguments in turn, and it was quite refreshing just to not have anyone intervene and tell me what I'm supposed to think, but let me just listen to what everyone is saying on either side.
Todd, thanks for that comment. Margaret, interesting analogy,
yeah, I'd love
too.
To respond to that.
Yeah, go for it.
Right, and I think that's one of the really powerful things about having these public hearings now, which, as you know, last week and the week before, Republicans in Congress were very critical of the Democrats for doing things behind closed doors. Now it's out in public, and whether it's on the radio or whether it's on television, you're getting this kind of blast of original content and reality that's coming at you, as your caller said, and it's coming without sort of the commentary, the gatekeeper. Now, that stuff is still there afterwards. If you want to hear Jeffrey Toobin, you know, talk about it on CNN or read a columnist in the New York Times about it later, fine. But you're also able, as your caller so eloquently said, to actually take it in and think about it on your own. So I think this is a really important moment, and it's, you know, it's great to hear that people are taking it in that way.
Let's also now go to Ian and Kakana. Ian, what's your take on the media coverage right now?
Hi. Yeah, I've been really kind of disappointed with the media coverage. I've been always, not always, but I've been very skeptical with the media and how they've put things out there, and then like within a couple of days to retract it because they didn't have anything close with it. So I've definitely been on the fence and skeptical with how they've been covering everything just throughout the entire impeachment process.
Ian, thanks for your take. And Margaret, it sounds like Ian is hearing some of that speculation.
Uh-huh. Yep, I think that's right. And, you know, one of the things that we have going for us right now is that, you know, this is a new chapter, and it is a little bit of a reset, I think, for the media to say, wow, I mean, this is a real rarity, impeachment hearings. They've only happened a few times in the country's history, and it's time to, you know, get away from these distractions. And the other point I'd make is that, you know, when we talk about the media, wow, that is a really broad category, and it can be kind of a trap. You know, are we talking about, you know, national newspapers, or are we talking about Fox News or public radio? You know, it's really, I think, a little bit dangerous in some ways to paint with such a broad brush.
Is there a way to narrow that, or is that just where the conversation is right now?
Well, I mean, I think we should, when we're talking about it, it's good to be able to sort of narrow it down. Like, we can talk about, for example, you know, national political reporters. And then I think, you know, we know who we're talking about then. It's probably the reporters for the networks and the Times and the Post and a couple of other, you know, major outlets. Are we talking about conservative media like talk radio and Fox News and places like that? So I think if we, you know, can kind of narrow our conversation about it so that, you know, it really is probably almost misleading to talk about the media.
We have a listener who writes, there's no such thing as unbiased. Try to be as impartial as you can be. Retract and correct errors. In the end, it's really up to the reader to make up their mind. So, Margaret, in just our last couple of minutes, while you're hoping the media does its job, what advice can viewers take to kind of pay attention and understand if what they're getting is what they should be getting from the media?
Right. Well, one thing I think viewers and listeners and readers can do, you know, and I like to, instead of calling people news consumers, I like to say citizens, because that's who we are, is to do some comparing and contrasting across different news organizations so that you can, you know, you can really get it, you know, you're not sort of drawn into an echo chamber. You're not in the either in the MSNBC or the Fox News echo chamber. You're absolutely trying to get a range and then make up your own minds. And also, I would just say, this is really important. It's an important time to pay attention and to realize that we have such an important responsibility, because public opinion will make a huge difference in what happens here.
So change that media diet a little bit if you find you're always hearing what you want to hear, maybe.
Exactly.
All right. Margaret, thank you so much for your time today.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist with The Washington Post, and we talked with her about how she'd like to see the media cover President Trump's impeachment hearings, and also how media consumers, how citizens, should take in those proceedings and the coverage, and how we can start to make up our own mind about what's going on. The next round of those hearings in front of Congress, scheduled for Friday.